name, amen. So here's a fun thing about this verse when it comes to the Hebrew. These words are called the 10 words. Problem is, this verse is 2. And that's because in Deuteronomy, they went through some changes because it's been about like 40 years. So this verse specifically is 2 words, which translates to, and do not steal. Or more specifically, and you will not steal. So I thought, okay, that's a little weird. We have the 10 words, this one's 2. Maybe there's something funny with the word steal. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is as simplistic as it gets. This verse literally means, and you will not steal. There's nothing complicated about it. Don't steal. That's very simple. I would hope that none of us would be thinking, oh, I'm going to go steal from Target, or, oh, I'm going to go steal this thing that's outside, or, oh, I'm going to go steal a car. But then why is this here? It's a very simple verse. Don't steal. So why do we need it? Why do you guys think there's a verse that says, you shall not steal? Because we like to steal, to find good stuff. For those of you new to Searchlight, we encourage you to talk during the sermon. Please do not hold any questions back, because your confusion is probably someone else's, just as it was mine. So what are some other reasons why we steal? We do it because we like stuff. We want stuff that's better. I know sometimes we steal because we see something that's like top of the line, but we don't have money, so it's like, I want that. What are some other reasons we steal? Opportunity. Ideas. Because we want more than our neighbor. That's a good one. Leave it up. It's shiny. Yeah, sometimes we steal just because it looks pretty. I mean, these are all valid reasons why we steal. But notice how in all these examples, we didn't say, oh, I want Mark's truck, or oh, I want Bruce's house, or oh, I want whatever someone else has. I want their specific thing. That's not what we're saying. The difference between stealing and coveting is stealing is I just want something. The difference with coveting is I want someone's specific thing. We will touch on that later with verses 9 and 10. Where it says, don't steal your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's house, your neighbor's maidservant, male servant, ox, donkey, chicken, horse, whatever the heck. That's all coveting. That's saying, don't take your neighbor's specific thing. But this verse is, don't steal. And there's a lot of reasons why we do steal. Like we mentioned, sometimes it's opportunity. There's no cameras around, there's no security guards, it's right in the open. Well, why not? It's free for the taking, so why not take it? We could steal because we need that new thing, but we don't have the money. Oh, shoot, I need a new breaker, but I don't have the money to buy it. Well, it's just right here, and I need it, so why not take it? Or maybe we steal because we're unhappy with what we have. Oh, this is a nice car, but it's always breaking down on me. That stupid check engine light is always on, and it always needs gas. But if I just go take that car that's just parked on the street, it's already full of gas. Why not just take it? I'll drive it to work, drive it back, park it, and no one would ever know. But that's not what we're supposed to do. Because it's really easy to go and steal. We've listed tons of reasons why. And it's really easy to steal from big corporations. I'm not hurting Jeff. I'm not hurting Georgina. I'm not hurting Frank if I steal from Target. Target makes enough money. I don't have to worry about them. I could steal from Best Buy and it'd be the same thing. I could steal from Walmart. I could steal from the local grocery store. It's not going to hurt anyone. They make enough money. I need this thing right now, so why don't I just take it? And it's really easy to do that, but that's not what we're called to do. Now, when we have stuff stolen, we get this icky feeling. I've never personally been burgled or robbed, but my parents were when I was 2. We were in a not so nice part of Arizona known as Tucson. For those of you who haven't been to Arizona, Tucson is up there in one of the crack and meth heads of the world. Not that far from Phoenix, which also is one of the crack and meth heads capitals of the world. And we're in Tucson, Arizona. I'm 2. I remember a story about a lizard coming in and my grandma freaking out. But what I do remember is my parents constantly telling me about how they had a 20 CD player. And they go do something, they're living life, and they come home and the front door is open. Now, my mom is very religious about locking the front door because she grew up in a single-parent household where it was just her and her mom. So when they go in, they're nervous. They see things have been rummaged around, things have been displaced, but the big thing is this expensive CD player, and all the CDs in it have now been taken. I remember my mom and my dad saying that they felt violated, that their safe space was now not safe. Now, I'm sure that wasn't the leading reason why they moved, but eventually, not that long after, we moved to San Francisco so my mom could be a teacher. But that feeling has always stuck with them. That's why we got a home security. That's why we have a gate and a deadbolt on our front door. So when we have these things that are stolen, some of us feel icky, and rightfully so, because our safe space is now not safe. Now, it's different than coveting because that is taking someone's specific thing, but still being stolen from feels wrong. So what do we do when it comes to protecting our stuff? What are some things that we can do to protect it? Safe. Safe. Yeah, you can put your stuff in a safe. Those are usually pretty safe, as the name would suggest. Guard doggy. Or two, yeah. Or guard cats. Yeah. Alarm system, yeah. Cameras, yeah. I have too many cameras on me right now. Keep a sword by your bed. I mean, that is a valid way to do that. I would hope you keep it in a scabbard so you don't cut yourself in the middle of the night. But some form of home defense, whether that be a gun or a baseball bat or a sword, those are all valid ways. Any other ways how we can protect our stuff? Faith, hide it. Yeah, these are all good. Trust, wills. That is a great way to protect your stuff, especially legally. Lock all your doors and windows. I heard someone else over here. Insurance. Insurance. Yeah, these are all great ways to protect your stuff. Some of them are physically protecting it through dogs and alarm systems and swords. And others of them are more ideologically protecting, doing that through wills and trusts and insurance. And I'm going to let you in on a secret. None of us are safe. Now, physically, we are not safe. Death happens all around us, whether that be through burglary or through car accidents or through shootings. That all happens. But we're also not safe spiritually. We go through all these struggles day after day after day, and mentally it just wears us down. We might be this great marble statue, but because we're constantly withered down, by the end of it all, we're just this tiny little pebble. And that's through every temptation that we get. That is through every thought that we think that we shouldn't, through every word that we say that we shouldn't, and through every deed that we do that we shouldn't. We get constantly weared down. But we are protected through one way. We have this grand insurance policy that we never had to buy. And many kids know this because their parents buy it for them. But this insurance policy that we have, which is on our faith, is through God. Now, God didn't cheapskate and he didn't buy the bare minimum because he legally had to. He went the top of the line, the premium, the best of the best. Thing is, that cost something. And that cost was through Jesus. And as that cost happened, we were included into this grand insurance policy where all of us are now protected. We've been included in this plan that we will be saved because God said, "You are mine. You are saved." Now, that's hard to always think of, that we are in this grand insurance policy, because we do get stolen from. Our cars might be broken in and stuff be taken. Our houses might have windows broken and our fine china stolen. Our churches can be broken into, and all of a sudden, all the stuff on the altar is then taken. But God says that no matter what struggle you go through, no matter how hard, how little, how great, he's there with us, and we are his. So with this great news that we have been saved, how do we not steal? That's a very, very loaded question. But how we not steal is obviously don't take, but also protect. We can't give people the grand faith insurance policy program because none of us work for the holy Geico called God. Yeah. Heather just said that she keeps imagining this lizard in a clerical. Now, Josh, if you could draw that for me, that'd be great. We're not the sales pitch, but we are the product that is saved. And we protect other people's stuff, and that's how we can live out this commandment. It's easy to just not take something, but it's harder to protect it. If you remember with the first commandment, we are to make God our God. Okay, that's easy. I don't have any idols. But that's not what that commandment's saying. The commandment is saying that I will put God forward always. When we hit the second commandment, it's simple. Just don't say God's name. I have lived up that commandment, but it's more than that. When you are a Christian and say you are a Christian, act like a Christian. That's a lot harder than just not taking the Lord's name in vain. When it comes to the third commandment, we are told, honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That's easy. I don't work. But it's more than that because we have to worship God. And the Sabbath day isn't just Sunday, but it's every day because we as Christians have now been saved. So when it comes to the seventh commandment of do not steal, it's more than just that. We need to protect our neighbor's stuff. And we can do that by getting them a guard dog or a sword or cameras or a security system. But the key that we have to do is we get the privilege to protect their stuff, whether that be protecting their bodies from any harm that could happen, whether that be legally or physically, which is taking the fifth to the next level. We could protect their things, such as taking care of their animals or their plants, because people have many plant babies. Or it could be protecting their homes, because the home is the safe space that we all have. It could be protecting the church, because that is the worship space we have. These are places we hold dear and great. So I'm going to ask you this. How can you not steal but protect your neighbor's stuff? I've given a few examples, and you can say them or add more. And I'm game for either. Hi, Ben. Yeah, get them a guard doggy.
Step up when you see people taking other people's stuff.
Step up when you see things being stolen. Yeah. What are some other ways that we can protect their stuff? Get a key to their home and then protect them? Did I hear that right? Oh, be the key and protect them. Yeah. Actively put yourself between them and harm. That's a hard one. That's one I struggle with. But as a Christian, I have been called to protect my neighbors, whether that be by providing them the word of God or by being there in their times of need. Go ahead, Heather. Yeah. Yeah. be the one who goes and helps, provides the CPR, and stops the burglary instead of just pulling out your phone and recording it. Yeah. These are all different ways that we can protect. As like I've been saying, this says do not steal, but the other half of it that is unsaid is go and protect. And we've provided great ways, and this is what we've been called to do, what we have the privilege to do, which is to go and protect our neighbors. And go and protect our neighbor's stuff. Because when we finish work after that 8-hour grueling shift, it's nice to go home and be safe, whether that be with our plant babies, our dogs, or our actual babies. But having that safe space, that home to go home to and rest, is what we need. So we can provide our neighbors that comfort by protecting their things. And we show God's love and one of his commandments, which is love thy neighbor, by protecting them. So next time, instead of pulling out your phone and recording it, instead of yelling world star when a fight happens, go and protect your neighbors. Oh, Jeff?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jeff had mentioned that we've mentioned a lot of physical stuff, but the greatest stealer of all is called the devil. So how do we, correct me if I'm wrong, but how do we protect them spiritually? Is that what you're asking? Yeah, don't steal opportunities, but provide them. And how do we do that spiritually? I'm opening that question up to you guys.
Supporting people.
Supporting people? Yeah. Supporting people instead of stealing their intellectual property.
Point people to store up for themselves treasures in heaven where they'll be embraced and stealing.
Give them spiritual gifts rather than taking them from them. Providing them opportunities.
And I think just encouraging your neighbors and improving them on a very easy scale, which you can really incorporate the Spirit of God in your 7-day conversations, and that's protecting them a lot.
Providing the Spirit of God in all your interactions with them. Live out your faith rather than blatantly talking about it all the time.
Well,
okay. I know that is a great way to do that. Live out our faiths. I mean, talk about God. Please talk about God. We need to be Christians, and we need to know what good examples of Christians are. Talk about your faith. But the more important part is live out your faith. And like Jeff had mentioned, I've talked a lot about the physical ways we can protect and not steal. And some of the spiritual ways we do that is telling them about God, providing them the opportunities to know about our great God, our Savior who died for us so that we could be his. Ways we do that could be inviting them to grief share, inviting them to Bible study, or the simplest one of all, inviting them to church, which is also the hardest one to do. We can live out our faiths and show them examples of what it means to be God's, what it means to love your neighbor. And some of those ways that people do know is physically. But by sharing good news, not having people backstab them, and not having people steal from them are all ways that we protect our neighbor.
So like Heather was saying, next time, don't pull out your phone to record, but go and help them. Don't let your neighbors be talked bad about behind their backs. And if your neighbor needs it, go and provide them what they need. Whether that be an ear to listen to, because sometimes it's just so hard, but if I just talk to someone, that's all I need. That's what God does with us when we pray. He just listens to us. It could be that he needs food, and you go and give them McDonald's. It might not be the healthiest, but when you have an empty stomach, sometimes having just any kind of food is all that you need. Or sometimes it's just being there. I know for me, some of the hardest times I've had, just having a friend next to me or in a voice call, was all that I needed to know I wasn't alone. That even though I know God is here with me always, sometimes I need the physical reminder that I'm not alone. So the way we don't steal, the way we protect, is by being there for our neighbors. Whether that be being there to protect their stuff or to be physically there for them. So I pray that when you have all these struggles, you will remember the love God has and you will show it to your neighbor. Because sometimes all we need is a little reminder. If you'll bow your heads and pray with me.